This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Generous and Al-Akram, the most generous. So what are they, or where do they stem from? Well, Karam in Arabic is generosity, but it also refers to honor, nobleness, precious things. And this is why we call precious stones as al-ahjar al-karima, because they're honored and priceless by themselves. So when we come to the name al-karim, Allah Azza wa Jal is al-karim. Part of his generosity is that he does not only give to those whom he loves. He gives to those whom he loves and to those whom he does not love. Part of his generosity is that he may give people what they want and what they need, even though they would use it to disobey him. Yet he doesn't care about this, Azza wa Jal, because he is in essence Al-Kareem. And this is why Allah says in the Quran, Ya ayyuhal insanu ma gharraka bi rabbika al-kareem. O mankind, what has deceived you concerning your Lord the generous? What cheated you? What made you deceived, be deceived? So Al-Kareem means the bountiful, the generous one, abundant in good, the one who causes and makes easy every good and who bestows generously without account. The one so generous that he even bestows favors upon those who reject his favors and then use them as means of to disobey him. And some scholars say Al-Karim is the beneficial one who gives without account to people so that they would benefit. And no one is worthy of such a description and a name other than Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah has always been Kareem and will always be Kareem. And one of the meanings of Kareem is the one who is flawless, who has no shortcomings, who is infallible. And this is why when the Prophet ﷺ was asked, who is the Kareem? Who's the honorable one? Not in terms of generosity, but in terms of status. So the Prophet said, it is Al-Kareem, Ibn al-Kareem, Ibn al-Kareem, Ibn al-Kareem. It is Prophet Yusuf, the son of Prophet Jacob, the son of Prophet Ishaq, the son of Prophet Ibrahim. A chain of noble men. So they said, no, we were not asking you about this. So then he answered them in a different context and a different answer. And Kareem is describing the essence of Allah and also his actions. So Allah Azza wa Jal, in essence, is noble, generous, honorable, in his attributes, in his actions, in his names, in everything he does, Azza wa Jal. And when we want to differentiate between Al-Akram and Al-Kareem, and by the way, Al-Akram was mentioned in the Quran where Allah says, recite and your Lord is the most generous. Iqra wa Rabbuka Al-Akram. So this is a name proven by the Quran. What's the difference between them? Scholars say, like Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. Ar-Rahman is describing the essence of Allah, sifatu that, while Ar-Rahim is describing the actions of Allah. Likewise, Al-Akram is describing the essence of Allah Azza wa Jal, while Kareem is describing his actions. And the meaning of Kareem and Al-Akram is a cocktail of beautiful descriptions. So some say he is the one who gives without compensation. Al-Kareem is the one who gives without a reason. And look at the disbelievers. Look at the atheists. Look at the enemies of Islam. Allah gives them abundantly, without any limitation, which shows you how generous He is. He's the one who gives without paying attention whether they will use it in good or bad. He doesn't care because He owns everything. He doesn't care whether they're believers or disbelievers, whether they're grateful or rejectful to what He does. He's the one, Al-Kareem, who's happy when people accept His gifts and they are showing their gratitude to it. And He's the one whose giving is general to all without any discrimination. And He's the one who gives even before you ask Him, Azza wa Jal. And this is why whenever you ask Allah for something, He gives it to you. And if you were trying to count Allah's favors and blessings, you would fail and would not be able to do so. The third beautiful name we have with us is a name that is authentic in the Sunnah. And this name is Al-Mu'ti, the giver. And it's related to Al-Kareem in terms of generosity. However, Al-Mu'ti was mentioned in an authentic hadith where the Prophet said, alayhi salam, Inna Allah Al-Mu'ti, Allah is the giver. Wa ana Qasim, and I am the distributor. So the actual gift comes only from Allah Azza wa Jal. And it is Allah who gives everything, who guides everyone, who provides for all. Allah says in the Quran, قَالَ رَبُّنَا الَّذِي أَعْطَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ ثُمَّ هَدَى. He said, our Lord is He who gave each thing its form and then guided it. And Allah's giving is divided into two types, general and specific. So the general type is for all. Allah gives this world wealth, health, power to whomever He wishes, regardless of their religious inclination, because He's the giver. Allah says in the Quran, قُلْ كُلٌّ نُمِدُّ هَؤُلَاءِ وَهَؤُلَاءِ مِنْ عَطَاءِ رَبِّكَ. Allah says that to each category we extend, to these and to those, from the gift of your Lord, and never has the gift of your Lord been restricted. This gift from the giver is to all. And this is general. Some people say, why is it the Muslims in Somalia or in Bangladesh are so poor and they have famine or floods, while non-Muslims in Europe are enjoying beautiful weather, beautiful scenery, health, wealth, etc.? This is in Allah's hands. Allah tests those and tests those. And Allah Azza wa Jal gives whomever He wishes according to His divine decree. We cannot judge that or complain to that. But the specific giving, Al-Mu'ti, when Allah Azza wa Jal specifically gives those whom He loves, He gives them the utmost in giving and favors and blessings. And this is when He gives to the messengers, to the prophets, and to the righteous people. As when Allah Azza wa Jal was asked by Prophet Sulaiman to grant him rain that no one after him would be capable of having something similar to it, Allah granted it. Allah gave it to him. And there are so many examples. Everything you enjoy is a gift from Allah Azza wa Jal, who is the giver. Another name of Allah's beautiful names is At-Tayyib. And this was also mentioned in the authentic hadith, where the Prophet said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبٌ ولا يقبل إلا طيبا. What does طيب mean? In Arabic, colloquial Arabic, طيب means good. But in classical Arabic, it means the pure one, the one perfect and rightly declared free of all deficiencies and shortcomings. This is الطيب. And Al-Qadi Iyad says, الطيب, when describing Allah Azza wa Jal, it refers to the one who's flawless, who has no shortcomings. And it exactly or almost similarly to the name Al-Quddus. And you remember in the very beginning episodes, we spoke about the Quddus, the pure, the perfect, Subhanahu Azza wa Jal. So At-Tayyib is similar to it. And Ibn al-Qayyim has a beautiful remark. You know, in our tashahhud, we say, At-tahiyyatu lillahi wa-t-tayyibatu, as-salawatu wa-t-tayyibat. We say, At-tahiyyatu lillahi wa-salawatu wa-t-tayyibat. What does that mean? Means all types of greetings are dedicated to Allah. All type of prayers are dedicated to Allah. وَالطَّيِّبَات, the plural of طَيِّب. Everything that is pure, everything that is good can only be attributed to Allah the Almighty. So his actions are طَيِّب. His names are طَيِّب. His attributes are طَيِّب. His name At-Tayyib means that nothing comes out of Allah Azza wa Jal except something that is pure, something that is good. Nothing goes up to him except good deeds that are Tayyib. Nothing comes close to him except that is Tayyib. To him, the good words, Al-Kalimu Tayyib, is elevated and rising to him. So all types of Tayyibat, which includes our words, our prayers, our actions, befit him Azza wa Jal and reach him. And no one deserves this except the Almighty At-Tayyibu Azza wa Jal. And finally, we have Ar-Ra'uf. And Ar-Ra'uf is one of Allah's beautiful names that were mentioned in the Quran in many places. Usually associated with Ar-Rahim. So what does Ar-Ra'uf mean in English? It means the compassionate and kind. Okay, so when you say Ar-Ra'uf Ar-Rahim, Rahim is merciful, so it also means compassionate. So what's the difference between them? Listen, Allah says in the Quran, and if it had not been for the favor of Allah upon you and His mercy, and because Allah is kind and merciful, Ra'ufun Rahim. Combining two names of Allah means that there is a distinction, there is a difference between them. You don't know, you don't say, He is merciful, He is merciful. It doesn't make any sense. When you say, Ra'ufun Rahim means that Ra'uf has a specific meaning, Rahim has a specific meaning. Likewise, إِنَّمَا الصَّدَقَاتُ لِلْفُقَرَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ. Fuqara are poor, masakeen are needy. When they're separated, so every faqir is miskeen and every miskeen is faqir. When they're combined together, no, each one has a specific meaning of its own. So what is the difference between Ar-Ra'uf, which is extremely merciful, and merciful? Scholars looked at a very slight and delicate difference. They said, Rahim is merciful. We know that. And it describes Allah's actions. However, sometimes such mercy comes with a price, with some torment, with some punishment. Therefore, this does not go against the name Rahim. Don't you see that when a person is sick and he is in pain and agony, Allah is Rahim with him. How come? Because soon he's going to recover, and he will notice that this illness caused hundreds and thousands of his sins to be erased, and it made him stronger. So this illness was camouflaged in mercy. So it's mercy that was hidden from us because the conclusion was beneficial, was positive. Ar-Ra'uf has no hidden things. It's pure mercy. No punishment, no compensation, no pain in it. It comes without a price. So Ar-Ra'uf is a far delicate type of mercy than Ar-Rahim. And the scholars who came with this conclusion gave an example from the Quran. Allah says, "Az-zaniyatu waz-zani, fajlidu kulla wahidin minhuma mi'ata jalda, wa la ta'khudhukum bihima ra'fatun fi dinillah." Look at this exact usage of word. Allah says, what translates to the unmarried women and the unmarried men, found guilty of sexual intercourse, lash or flog each one of them with 100 lashes, and do not be taken by pity. Here is Ra'fa in Arabic, which is, we have the name Ra'uf. Notice that he did not say, and do not be taken by mercy for them. Because if Allah said, don't be taken by mercy, meaning that this is total punishment, has no forgiveness, has no benefits at all. But Allah used the word Ra'fa, meaning that this is a punishment. Hence, it contains some sort of torment and some sort of hardship, which has no Ra'fa in it, but it has mercy. So Allah did not put mercy instead of pity or Ra'fa. He used the word Ra'fa to show that yes, there is punishment. There is something that people hate, resent, and maybe are hurt by it. But at the end, because it's merciful, there is benefit for them. While Ra'fa comes with the name of Ra'uf with no strings attached. It's utmost mercy without anything being covered. Al-Hulaymi says, Ar-Ra'uf means the one who takes it easy upon his servants because he doesn't burden them beyond what they can bear. And this is obvious when we see that at times of weakness and decrease of power, Allah the Almighty reduces the tension upon people. So a traveler prays two rak'ahs instead of four. He's exempted from fasting until he resides. A person who's well is not treated as a person who is sick. All of this is considered to be Ra'fa wa Rahma from the Ra'uf Ar-Rahim. Among his delicate mercy towards us, that he knew our weakness, Azza wa Jal, and that he made everything in this universe, whether in the heavens or on the earth, to serve us and to benefit us. So he made the earth flat for us, and he made the heavens without any pillars. When I say the earth flat, I don't mean that it's not spherical. I mean, if you look, it's flat. If you look as far as you can see, it's flat. It's not curved for you, but it is spherical as we all know. So Allah Azza wa Jal created everything that we need. And when he tells us this in the Quran, he concludes the ayah with Ar-Ra'uf Ar-Rahim. Inna Rabbakum La-Ra'uf Ar-Rahim. For example, and they carry your loads, that is the animals, to a land you could not have reached except with difficulty to yourselves. Indeed, your Lord is kind and merciful. Kind and merciful. Ra'uf, Rahim. So we see that this is part of Allah's mercy and delicate mercy as well. And we can go on and on and on to speak about this, but we conclude with this last verse that Allah Azza wa Jal preserves upon us the good deeds we do. No matter how little you spend in charity, no matter how many sajdas you offer in the middle of the night and you forget about it, everything is calculated and everything is given to you once Allah Azza wa Jal holds you to account. Allah says, and never would Allah have caused you to lose your faith, that is your previous prayers. Indeed, Allah is to the people kind and merciful. Inna Allaha bin nasi la ra'ufun rahim. We have a short break. Stay tuned, and inshallah, we'll be right back.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today we're going to talk about the book Interactions of the Greatest Leader. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam divided the poor people among the companions so that they were fed. Ibn Sirin, may Allah have mercy upon him, said, in the evening, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would divide some poor people between some of his companions. So it would be that a man would go with one man, another with two men, another with three, and so four, up until 10. Al-Hasan, may Allah have mercy upon him, said, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would take any of them that remained into his home and would feed them whatever he had. This hadith is reported by Ahmad. Al-Albani ruled it as authentic in his book, As-Sahiha. Also reported by Ibn Abu Shaybah in his book Al-Musannaf.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah and welcome back. Our first caller, Abu Hafs from Bangladesh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Alaykum assalam wa barakatuh.
My question is, while making individual dua before iftar, before breaking the fast, I've heard someone say that we shouldn't raise our hands. Is this true, Sheikh?
Okay, I will answer, inshallah. And we have Sidi from Germany.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Shantullah.
Sheikh, what's the ruling of people who have a problem in the Arabic language and they can't speak the Arabic words and sentences fluently in the prayers and they sometimes stutter and repeat some words in the prayer? Are they required to perform sujud as-sahu? And if yes, should they make it after or before salam?
Okay, I will answer, inshallah. And we have Qaisar from Kashmir.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Shantullah.
Sheikh, my question is, a week ago or so, I contracted COVID-19, but alhamdulillah, I'm recovering now. But Sheikh, my parents want to sacrifice a sheep or a lamb and distribute the meat to the people. And also, Sheikh, they have given some money to the mosques, like 1,100 rupees to each mosque. So is this permissible, Sheikh?
Okay, I will answer, inshallah. Abdullah from Spain. Abdullah from Spain. Abdul Aziz from the UK.
Sheikh, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa rahmatullah.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Yeah, Sheikh, my question it pertains to, you know, like a bit of a thing I have, a bit of a phenomenon I have when reciting the Quran. It's just like, I don't know, you could kind of, a lot of the Muslims, you know, have the same kind of problem with the wudu, but this is, it's, you could, you know, kind of an OCD, if you like. Like, during Ramadan, I'm trying to, you know, complete as much as possible, but I'm being a bit held back because I constantly have this phenomenon that I'm making a lot of mistakes in my recitation.
Okay, I will answer, inshallah.
Sumayya from the Emirates. Sumayya?
Yes. They're saying, Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamualaikum.
Yeah. This, my question is, where should women do itikaf in the month of Ramadan? And what is minimum time?
Okay. I will answer, inshallah. Ahmed from the UK. Ahmed.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamualaikum.
Sheikh, I asked you a while back regarding the wiping in Tayammum and how I received it from you that it's okay to just wipe normally. I came across this passage in Al-Tamhid, which the scholars that say that it's obligatory to wipe the whole head in the wudu. They use the verse talking about Tayammum as evidence to say that it's not. I think they say that they unanimously agreed that it's not permissible to wash only part of the face in wudu or to wipe only part of it in tayammum. So I'm confused on what you said and what I read. If you can clarify, inshallah.
Okay. And Abi from Indonesia.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Assalamualaikum.
Sheikh. I want to ask you, can we make dua the same way like we are doing zikr? I mean, saying the dua over and over again, repeatedly, throughout the day, without raising our hand and without any wudu? Jazakallah khair.
Wa jazak. And we have Muhammad from the U.S.
As-salamu
alaykum, Shaykh.
Sheikh, I wanted to know, like, in the prayer, while I'm praying and I'm reciting a surah, and all of a sudden I realize that I get stuck in that point and I don't remember the next verse. So after trying 2 seconds, I can remember it. So should I recite another surah or should I go for ruku? And as well, it happens like after finishing the salah, I will
answer your question, Muhammad, inshallah, because we have only one question. Suhail from Malaysia.
Where is the Sheikh?
Suhail.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Sheikh, I have a question. I am aware of the hadith saying that, I don't remember the hadith exactly, but the meaning is that a house that contains a dog, a portrait, and a picture, the angel does not come into it. So, Sheikh, in my house, unfortunately, I have some of these items, and sometimes I try to memorize the Quran, but these things distract me. And I'm a bit hesitant to talk to my parents about this because I want to prioritize to Tawheed first, and then telling them about the names and attributes of Allah. So I'm at a fork of a road. What should I do here, Sheikh?
Okay, I will answer inshallah. Muhammad or Mahmoud from Bangladesh.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Assalamu alaikum.
Sheikh, my question is, during the last time I took my shower, I rinsed my mouth and then my nose. Then I pour 2 mugs of water on my body. After pouring 2 mugs of water, I suddenly remember, was my rinsing nose was correct or not? Then I just took some water and rinsed my nose, just the way I did. But it was totally irrelevant, just to make me satisfied that the way I did, it was right or wrong. But it was totally irrelevant. Then I remembered, this is a whisper from Shaitan, and I just continued my shower. I didn't repeat. This irrelevant act will affect my shower, or was my shower as...
Okay, I will answer, inshallah. Final question is Aqib from India.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Assalamu alaikum.
Sheikh, my question is that when we pray in congregation of 3 or 4 people in a room where there is only place for one saf, then how should we stand? Jazakallah khair.
Wa jazakum. Okay, Abu Hafs from Bangladesh. Some say that we should not raise our hands when we make dua before the iftar. This is not part of the prohibited things. Now, this is a place of general dua. The Prophet told us, alayhi wasalam, that the dua of the person traveling, the dua of a person breaking his fast, the dua of a person at the last hour of Friday, all of these types of dua are answered by Allah. Where do we get that it is not permissible to raise your hands? This is totally bogus. You can raise your hands without any problem. Sidi from Germany, he says, people who do not pronounce Arabic words correctly and during Salat they are forced to repeat it twice or three times, do they make sujood as-sahu for that? The answer is no. Sujood as-sahu is done when you add or take out a mandatory act. Mistakes or forgetting a verse or so in recitation does not fall under the acts that you have to remove or have to offer sujood as-sahu for that. Qaisar from Kashmir, he recovered from COVID and alhamdulillah, may Allah Azza wa Jal make that purification of your sins. His parents slaughtered the sheep and gave masjids in the vicinity some rupees as sadaqah. Is that permissible? The answer is yes. Either it's a form of gratitude to Allah Azza wa Jal, or it is a form of seeking Allah's protection from calamities, and both are permissible. The public and the poor and needy are benefiting from it. Abdulaziz from UK, he says he suffers from waswas during reciting the Quran. You have to ignore this. And the more difficult it is for you to pronounce the Quran and you struggle with it, the double the reward you get, inshallah. So ignore this. Try to focus on doing a good job. Try to practice after Salat, and inshallah, you'll be doing well. Sumayya says, where do women offer i'tikaf during the month of Ramadan? The answer is, the i'tikaf for men and women cannot be done except in a full-fledged masjid, which means that prayer halls are not included. You cannot offer i'tikaf in prayer halls or a musalla. It has to be in a full-fledged masjid. And to my knowledge, in the UAE, it is all closed for i'tikaf. There is no i'tikaf in Ramadan, and specifically for women, and hence they cannot do that in homes. So, inshallah, Allah will grant them reward according to their intention. Ahmed from the UK, he says that he asked me a question before, and I answered him, and now he's coming back because he read something in a fiqhi book which stated that wiping should cover the whole of the organ. And this is not true. When you wipe over your head, you cannot ensure or even claim that you have managed to wipe over every strand of hair. So he's saying what to do. Who cares what you do, akhi? If you go and read in random books and want to rectify what I say with these random books, stay with the books. I told you, logically, when you do this, the sunnah is to blow and wipe your face. Now, you want to tell me, if I were to put my hands in flour, dip it in flour, and wipe my face, that every single inch of my face would be covered by it, by one wipe? No, this is not possible. So the point is that wiping is different than washing. You do your best by doing it once. You do this and that's it. You're not supposed to bring a microscope or a magnifying glass and see whether it's covered or not. Now, if you read in other books, don't read books without consulting a scholar. Go to your scholar and ask him and show him so that he could rectify to you and prove to you whether this is legit or it's just a book in fiqh that is following blindly what his sheikh said and what his sheikh said and what his imam said. No, you go to the Quran and Sunnah with understanding of the righteous favorite generations and understand it through that. Otherwise, Salafi. Abi from Indonesia, he says, can we repeat dua like we do with dhikr? And this is a little bit different because dhikr can be repeated throughout the day. So you say, Subhanallah, 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 and repeat it and work and do. Dua has to be a little bit higher status, because hadith of the Prophet says that Allah does not respond to a heart that is absent-minded. So you can make dua while doing your chores, while working out, but you're not paying any attention. So this dua has no value. And dhikr and dua, both of them, do not require that you face the qibla. They do not require that you are in the state of wudu. So you can do them whether you are in wudu or not, or facing the qibla or not. But what counts with dua is that you have it wholeheartedly with your heart present. Muhammad from the US, he says, while I'm reading and reciting, what happens if I were to forget the ayah that I was reciting afterwards? I forgot. So should I skip it? Yes, you can skip it. You can say A'udhu Mishtan Rajim and recite another surah, and you can go for rukur. Either way, there's no problem in that, inshallah. Suhail from Malaysia, he says that his house contains dogs, portraits, and statues. And we know that the Prophet said, alayhi salam, Innal Malaika, angels, do not enter a house that has a dog, a portrait, or a statue. And this is an authentic hadith. The angels of mercy, the angels of protection, do not enter such a house. The angels of registering your good and bad deeds will be there. They never leave you at all. So he's saying that I'm a bit distracted with these things. I cannot memorize the Quran, and I don't want to speak to my parents and bring this to their attention, because there are bigger fish to fry. I'd like to focus on prioritizing tawheed and important issues before I speak about these small issues. Well, if this is your intention, which is a valid and good intention, confine yourself to your room. Nobody has control to what goes into your room. So if your room has no statues, no portraits, and no dog, then you will not be distracted and the angels would be present, inshallah. Mahmoud from Bangladesh, he says, while performing ghusl, I accidentally repeated rinsing my nose because I had doubts. It doesn't make any difference, akhi. You rinse your nose in the beginning, in the middle, and at the end. This does not invalidate the sequence of ghusl because it doesn't impact it. So there's nothing wrong with your ghusl at all. And the final question, and we may take a call or two afterwards. Aqib from India, he says, if we are three or four people and praying in one line, because there is no sufficient room in the room we're praying, how should we stand? Well, you should stand, all of you, to the right of the imam. If there's no place to have the imam in the front and you at the back, then you should pray to the right of the imam in the same row without any problem. If you can go a little bit behind, to the best of your ability, that would be sufficient. Because we know, if there are two praying, imam and a follower, they pray shoulder to shoulder. But if there is a second person with them, they should go behind the imam. If this is not possible because there is no room, then they should go as far as possible, maybe half a foot or a foot behind him, where it is possible for him to be as much as possible to the front. Do we have any callers? And we have Latifa from the U.S.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
So I have a question. In my school, if you're going to message a teacher, you need to message them on a app called Remind. And I have a male teacher, so when I message him, no one can see him. No one can see the message except me and him, so it's like a private chat. Is this allowed?
Okay. There's no problem, inshallah, in doing so, because this is a message and it's strictly business. No flirting, no socializing. So messaging him is permissible without a problem. Rashid from Tunisia.
Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh.
Assalamualaikum.
Please tell me your opinion about this. عندما تصلي التراويح ثمان ركعات ثم يقوم الإمام ويقول صلاة الشفع تنويها أنت وترا لأنه ليس هناك صلاة اسمها صلاة الشفع. جزاك الله خير.
Well, basically what Rashid is saying is that when the Imam concludes eight rak'ahs of Taraweeh, he has to pray three rak'ahs as the norm. So he says, stand up to pray Salatul Shafa', meaning that he's going to pray two rak'ahs and then witr one rak'ah. What's the ruling on that? Saying this is not from the Sunnah. Whether it's correct or not, this is disputable. Because he may intended that this is shafa' witr. And this is wrong, because the eight rak'ahs before that were all shafa', two by two by two by two. Now the three he's praying are known as witr. And this is why the first two he recites Surah Al-A'la, Surah Al-Kafirun, and then Surah Al-Ikhlas. He doesn't recite in the first two normal Qur'an as he was continuing the ninth and the tenth rak'ah. Rather, he specifically prays a particular surah. So this is why it is known, the three of them, as witr. So technically speaking, he should not have said that, but saying it in the first place is not part of the sunnah. And finally, Shihab from Bangladesh.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Assalamualaikum.
I was wondering whether it is permissible to use a phone plan that gives unlimited text and calling.
Okay, so basically, Shihab is asking about a mobile plan where they give you a particular number of minutes and messages as a package, but you have to pay a particular amount of money. It seems to me that this is permissible, because whether you use that or not, this is up to you, because if you exceed it, you're going to pay more. If you don't use it, then it's the payment you have paid is way over the norm. If you did not take this package, 500 minutes a month would have costed you maybe twice the price. But they're giving you a discount and incentive for you to participate in this prepaid or postpaid regardless. So it seems, inshallah, that this is permissible and Allah Azza wa Jal knows best. This is all the time we have. Until we meet tomorrow, same time, I leave you fi amanillah. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
ولله الأسماء الحسنى فادعوه بها وذروا الذين يلحدون في أسمائه سيجزون ما كانوا يعملون.